Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Yellow Pages' second quarter 2017 earnings release call. Today's conference call contains forward-looking information about Yellow Pages' outlook, objectives, and strategy. These statements are based on assumptions and are subject to important risks and uncertainties. Yellow Pages' actual results could differ materially from expectations discussed. The details of Yellow Pages' caution regarding forward-looking information, including key assumptions and risks, can be found in Yellow Pages' management discussion and analysis for the second quarter of 2017. This call is being recorded and webcast, and all of the disclosure documents are available on the company's website and on SEDAR. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Ken Taylor, Interim President, CEO, and CFO. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining the call. Today, I will cover financial and operating highlights for the second quarter and first six months ended June 30, 2017, followed by a question and answer period. Our priorities are to focus on improving shareholder returns and increasing free cash flow, which in the near term means completing the refinancing of our senior notes, driving top-line and bottom-line financial performance in all segments of our business, attracting and retaining high-potential customers with new customer offerings, and a go-to-market strategy that emphasizes a best-in-class customer experience. I will now take you through our financial results. My review of financial results will include references to certain operating segments, as the company has moved to segmented reporting. The segments align to how we now manage and evaluate performance of our business, which will also provide greater transparency for investors. Our four operating segments are YP, which covers digital and traditional marketing solutions, including our owned and operated media. Agency, which covers national advertising solutions via our Mediative, Juice, and Totem subsidiaries. Real estate, which includes Comfrey, DeProprio, and Yellow Pages' Next Home. Other, which includes 411.ca, as well as our local lifestyle magazine specific to the Western Canadian market. A more fulsome description of these segments and the operating performance thereof is included in our financial statements and management's discussion and analysis for the second quarter and first six months of 2017 that were filed this morning on SEDAR and also available on our corporate website. Total revenue for the second quarter of 2017 was 191.2 million dollars, approximately 9% lower than Q2 2016. The decline was mainly due to lower print revenue, which declined 25% in the YP segment and 22% overall, which is in line with the trajectories we anticipated. Digital revenues declined by close to 3% in Q2 2017 as compared to Q2 2016 due to a 2.8 million dollar decline in the agency segment revenues and a 2.2 million dollar decline in YP segment revenues, which were down primarily due to a lower-than-expected customer base and the anticipated shift in sales mix. Agency segment performance in the first half of 2017 was negatively impacted by turnover in our sales team and timing of contracts. The second half of the year is seasonally stronger for this segment, so we expect to see an improved growth trajectory in the second half of 2017 with stability in sales resources and a solid pipeline of opportunities. We continue to expect 2017 digital revenue to grow over 2016. However, growth will be less than our May 10th guidance of 4% due to weaker-than-expected performance of the agency segment in the first half of the year and lower-than-expected customer base in the YP segment. The decline in the YP segment customer base underscores the need to update our customer offerings and go-to-market strategy by improving the customer experience in the way we deliver and support our solutions. Second quarter adjusted EBITDA was 44.4 million dollars, or 23% of revenues, down from 58.9 million, or 28% of revenues in the same period last year, due mainly to lower gross profit associated with lower overall revenue and the shift in product mix in the YP segment. YP segment gross profit declined to 57.7% in Q2 2017 from 61% in Q2 2016. The impact was partially offset by cost containment and other operating costs in the YP segment, which declined by 2.2 million dollars in Q2 2017 as compared to Q2 2016. Second quarter 2017 net earnings were 820,000 dollars, or 0.03 per diluted share, down from 11 million dollars, or 0.38 per diluted share in Q2 2016, due to lower adjusted EBITDA, partially offset by lower financing costs associated with lower average debt levels. Net debt as of June 30, 2017 was $371 million as compared to $385 million at December 31, 2016 and $449 million at June 30, 2016. The company generated free cash flow of $14.6 million in the second quarter of 2017 as compared to $23.2 million in Q2 2016 and has generated $31.2 million of free cash flow in the first half of 2017 as compared to $47.4 million in the first half of 2016. The decline in year-to-date free cash flow in 2017 as compared to 2016 is primarily related to the decline in adjusted EBITDA. As previously stated, we expect to meet 2017 guidance targets communicated on May 10, 2017 for total revenue, adjusted EBITDA, and free cash flow, and capital expenditures net of lease inducements for fiscal 2017 are expected to be less than $65 million. The company made significant progress on the senior note refinancing initiative prior to pausing the process due to the board's decision to replace the CEO. We expect to complete the final stages of the senior note refinancing process once I am replaced by a permanent CEO successor. Before moving on to Q&A, I'd like to briefly discuss our operational metrics and strategic highlights. Our customer count for the 12 months ended June 30, 2017 declined by 7,500 customers when compared to the same period last year, and our 2017 expectation for customer count is 230,000 versus 241,500 customers in 2016. While customer acquisitions remain a key focus for revenue growth, we will also increase our customer retention efforts by delivering a more robust and scalable product offering tailored to meet customer needs and improved overall customer experience. We had another very strong quarter in traffic to our media network, with total digital visits up more than 50% year over year. While syndication and partnerships drove a big piece of this growth, our direct traffic is performing well, up 10% year over year. The increase in direct traffic is a result of improvements we've made in marketing over the past 18 months, including investment in content, search engine optimization, and personalized push notifications. We made good progress on key initiatives of our customer offering and go-to-market strategy in Q2, with the following pilots expected in the second half of fiscal 2017. We plan to begin piloting MyTime before the end of the third quarter. We announced this exclusive licensing agreement with MyTime for the Canadian market on July 5th. MyTime will allow Yellow Pages to help SMEs manage their day-to-day business with an all-in-one commerce platform, providing online booking, messaging, and payment capabilities. We're excited about the potential not only in the B2C market, but also in B2B applications, including analytics to help SMEs leverage targeted digital marketing campaigns fulfilled by Yellow Pages. Secondly, we expect to begin piloting Evergreen contracts in Q4, along with a new billing system. Evergreen contracts provide customers with greater flexibility and lower barriers of entry. Once piloting is complete, we will begin acquiring new customers on Evergreen. Our existing customers will take time to transition over, but we expect to move quickly from an acquisition perspective. Thirdly, we have also taken the initial steps to realign our sales teams to better address customer needs and to evaluate appropriate sales compensation structures to drive retention and growth in our revenues and customer base. This work will continue in the coming months to ensure successful migration in 2018. Overall, we remain on track for full implementation of our customer offerings and go-to-market strategy in 2018. Lastly, on July 26, we announced the process of identifying a permanent CEO successor to lead the company. The process is well underway, and we hope to announce the successor soon. This concludes my formal remarks. I'll now take your questions.
Thank you. We will now take questions on the telephone line. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register for questions. Thank you for your patience. Our first question is from Aravinda Ganapatish with Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I wanted to start with the refinancing. I think if I heard you correctly, you mentioned that you're probably not going to close that or not going to close that until a CEO is appointed, a permanent CEO is appointed. Doesn't that place a little bit of extra risk on the process given, you know, that the maturity of the notes are next year in November? And if there's a delay perhaps in the CEO process, that you might be sort of taking that that process a little too close to the finish line.
Yeah, we don't think there is additional risk associated with this. As I mentioned, you know, the board's well underway in the process. We hope to announce a successor soon. Certainly, you know, barring that happening, it's a top priority for the company, and we would move forward in any event. But we think, given what we expect could be near-term announcement, we think it's best to wait, is our current view.
Okay. And secondly, with respect to some of the comments you made about free cash flow, I know that the company has had an ongoing kind of restructuring program in past years, but as you kind of get a better grip of the cost structure of the company and the various silos, do you sort of see this business as having a potential for much greater cost rationalization as you go forward? I know it's probably you can't quantify it at this point, but just generally, I was wondering if you can comment on that. Thank you.
Yeah, I think in general terms, I mean, we're very focused on growing the top line, but always with a focus on efficiently running the business and looking for areas where we can reduce costs. So, you know, do we currently have a view on, you know, a significant downsizing or anything in that view? No. I think it's, you know, there's a combination of things that we do every day, and ideally it's, you know, we're looking at smart ways to do things more efficiently. Where there's areas that we think we can make cuts, we will. But, you know, we think we're on the right path, and we'll just continue to make those decisions as we see fit and as relevant for the business.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Bentley Cross with TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I want to first ask about the digital revenue trends. I mean, obviously, we've gone from guidance of 4 to 7 down to 4. Now the bogey seems to be somewhere around 0. Just wondering, what are the dynamics there? Is that all driven by Juice or the core business as well? Any color you could provide would be appreciated.
Yeah, I think, you know, we hope it's more than 0. I mean, we know it's positive growth. It's certainly what we've seen in the first half, you know, caused us to, you know, have to bring down our guidance on that front. So certainly in the agency segment, we saw some pressure, and, you know, with the sales turnover that we had, you know, particularly with Juice, you know, that there was some stability there that we now have, and we now have a good view into second half. Second half for digital in the agency segment is seasonally strong in Q3 and Q4. So as we, you know, we go into the back half and we look at their pipeline, we feel good about that trajectory, but there's no question there was impact in the first half of the performance of agency. On the other hand, we have seen a bit of a decline in the first half in the YP segment as well. We don't have as many salespeople as we'd anticipated, and, you know, we're trying to correct that. We're actively trying to correct that and get people in place. There's certainly, as I mentioned in my comments earlier, you know, it's important that the changes we're making in our go-to-market strategy and customer offerings are critical to driving growth going forward. So all these things are important, and those will start to, you know, improve as we get into 18. And then lastly, I'd say, look, there's from an execution and customer experience perspective, there's areas we can improve on, and those are things that we'll be addressing right away, and I think that will help on the churn side. So, you know, really important that we focus on retention as well as acquisition. That's impacted digital in the first half. We think, you know, we know what we need to do to right the ship on that front, and we expect to be above 0. But we want to, you know, it's key that we execute on our strategy to make that happen.
Okay. And the second question is just going a little bit further on the refinancing. The release touches on that you expect to be able to do it on more attractive terms than the existing notes. I'm just wondering how far down the line you got before you pulled the offer and kind of what your expectation is in terms of interest rate or any sort of covenants that might be required.
Yeah, I can't give you a, you know, color on details. You know, I can say that, you know, we've, you know, certainly, you know, we've been out in the market broadly, talking to people, et cetera. You know, we'll update once we have it in place. You know, we're well along and, you know, feel confident in our ability to get something done. Really the gating item right now is, you know, we think in the near term, we should be able to announce a CEO successor, get that done. We should be able to progress and get the financing done and then communicate the terms.
Okay. Thanks. That's it for me.
Thank you. Once again, please press star one at this time if you have a question. Our next question is from Zahan Ajamian with Beacon Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Just a couple of questions. Regarding the CEO search, you mentioned that you're hoping to be able to name a successor in the near term. Can you give some color on the search and the process? You know, how long has it been ongoing for? How wide was the search? Any color on the skill sets and type of experience you're looking for, the board is looking for?
I can't give you, you know, details on the process except, you know, just to reiterate that, you know, the board's well along in the process, you know, which is, you know, why I'm able to say that, you know, we hope we can get somebody named in the near term. Obviously, I mean, you know, we're some of the things that I mentioned at the beginning of the call in terms of what's important in terms of driving operational performance in all of the segments, improving, you know, the way we're going to market today, our customer offerings and execution. I mean, those are going to be common themes, whether it's me on an interim basis or the, you know, the permanent successors in place. So, you know, I think, you know, there's, we've got a good experienced board, who knows, you know, familiar with the industry, familiar with, you know, and they've got a lot, wide range of experience. And they'll bring, you know, they'll attract some very good candidates. So we're comfortable that we're going to get a, you know, a great candidate in place.
And any color you can give regarding restructuring charges for the second half of the year?
On the restructuring side, we don't have any sort of major restructuring initiatives currently planned for the second half.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our last question is from Drew McReynolds with RBC. Please go ahead.
Excuse me. Thanks. Good morning, Ken. Just a couple of follow-ups. Just on the digital side, it was obviously helpful to get the segmented disclosure. Can you just comment on, you know, your level of visibility as you look into the back half of 2017 and into 18? You know, obviously more of a qualitative question than a quantitative one, but just, you know, wondering where, you know, you're confident where there still is some work to do.
Yeah, the confidence is when I look at, you know, the process that's going on now in terms of the work being done on our go-to-market, you know, there's good confidence across the board and good engagement across the company in addressing how we're going to market, what our customer offerings are, and, you know, making those compelling solutions that are more tailored to, you know, various levels of customer, which I think is a critical piece. From an operational perspective in terms of how we're delivering and executing, I mean, there's work to be done there, but we know what it is, and we've just got to execute on that front. So, you know, I think that's comforting in that we know how to address things and how we get turn things around in terms of growth. And, you know, the new offerings, and there's our core offerings are the ones that we have in-house, and then offerings like MyTime are also going to help drive, you know, new acquisitions. It's going to enable us to upsell existing customers, which is a key key element of our new go-to-market strategy as well. So I know I'm hitting on a number of fronts there, but I think it all has to come together, and we've got a really engaged team to make it happen. There's no question that, you know, that there's a huge market out there as well, right? So, you know, our customer forecast for the year is 230,000. I mean, we've only got, you know, a small portion of the market. So there's a lot of other opportunity out there, and we think, you know, with the execution on our strategy, we'll be in good position to take advantage of it.
Okay, thanks for that. And noticed, haven't gone through the full release, so my apologies, but just on the print side, on the directory side, just noticed some easing of decline there, kind of relative to the previous quarters. Obviously, you want to keep it under, I think, 25% year over year. The cause of kind of that modest improvement?
Yeah, I think, you know, look, on the YP segment, it's down close to 25%, which is really along the trajectory we expected. You know, we had the acquisition of Totem, which is, you know, impacted and helped, you know, part of that gap where I think we're 22% overall.
Gotcha.
But I think we hit to and where that inflection point is, I mean, we continue to plan around the 25, but I think at a certain point, you do start to get a bit of a flattening of the curve in certain markets, which are going to continue to want print. But I think, you know, mm-hmm. from the way we continue to look at it is, if it's less than 25, that's great. Key is continued cost optimization on the print side so that we keep generating the same amount of profit out of that business with an assumption of 25%. So if it's a little bit less than that, then that's great.
Okay, that's great. And on the segmented disclosure, presumably that's just the new protocol going forward, is it?
It is. So, you know, from a disclosure and accounting perspective, it's, you know, the mandate is on there. It's, you know, how we're viewing the business internally. You're lumping elements of your business that are of similar risk profiles. So that's, you know, certainly since I've come in and tried to get up to speed on the business and how we're managing it, you know, that is, and with the new strategy that we have in place, you know, this is the way we'll look at it. And so, you know, we want to make sure that we're sharing that externally as well.
Okay. Yeah, no, certainly helpful. And then lastly, just on cash pension funding, noticed no change to 2017, but there wasn't any guidance on 2018, just the dynamics there given kind of what's happening in the market with rates, et cetera.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's to your point, it's a bit of a moving target on that as well. And there's, you know, legislative changes that, you know, are happening in certain jurisdictions as well. So,
yeah.
So for now, no new guidance on 18, and we'll update when we have more visibility on that.
Okay. Thanks very much, Ken.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Bentley Cross with TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for squeezing me back in. Just wanted to ask quickly on the CapEx front. I see you reiterated guidance for the year. Just wondering, over time, when you look at that, is there a potential to kind of bring that down? I mean, under previous management, they talked about sustaining CapEx of kind of 15 to 20 million. Is that still the right way of thinking about things?
15 to 20. So if you look at this year, so the 65 that we have net of inducements, I would say, outside of the real estate move impact, you know, this year's number would be closer to 50. And, there's new billing systems, things like that coming on stream. So, you know, the way we sort of modeled out forward would be more in the sort of 40 to 50 million dollar range. But always looking, you know, and that's, you know, we tend to evaluate ourselves pretty strictly on free cash flow as well. So we'll always be looking for opportunities to bring that CapEx down lower than that.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. That was our last question. This concludes today's conference. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.